Praise God. Now we're going to continue where we left off. And we're talking about setting goals for your church. What we've learned so far is this. That a pastor has the responsibility to receive goals from God. A pastor can listen to advice from counselors, but the final decision is what God wants. Now, you don't have to turn to this. But in Genesis chapters 12 through 15, God begins speaking to Abraham. And he tells Abraham to leave home and go to another country. God promised Abraham he would give him a son and establish a covenant with Abraham. Abraham waited and waited for this son. Then in Genesis chapter 16, Abraham decided to act on his own. The result was the birth of Ishmael. Not only was Ishmael born, but all of the problems associated with Ishmael were born. There are problems to this day with the descendants of Ishmael. If Ishmael had never been born, all of those problems would not exist. But Abraham thought he was doing the right thing, because God told him that his son would be born of his own loins. Well, Ishmael was born of Abraham's loins. But God made it very clear that Ishmael was not the fulfillment of the promise. And so Abraham had to continue to wait. And finally, in Genesis chapter 21, we see that Isaac was born. Once Isaac was born, that set into motion the manifestation of God's blessings and promises, including the ultimate birth of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Abraham had received a word and a promise from God, but it was 25 years before he saw that promise come to manifestation. What you decide to do in your ministry could result in an Ishmael or an Isaac being born. If you do what you believe is the right thing to do, you may give birth to an Ishmael. When Ishmael was born, he was just a little baby. He didn't look like he would cause problems. He didn't look like there would be conflict. But ultimately there were problems. And there was conflict. When you act on your own, outside of God's instructions, you will give birth to an Ishmael. At first, everything will look good. People may congratulate you. People may even tell you you have have followed the leading of God. But over time, you're going to see that an Ishmael is impacting your ministry. If you obey God, what you do will give birth to an Isaac. And Isaac is the key to the manifestation of God's promises and His blessings in your life and your church. The goal is to birth an Isaac. When God speaks to you, His word is like a seed. Those instructions are like a seed in your spirit. When you obey His instructions, you are giving birth to His will. As you give birth to His will, His blessings will begin to manifest. His glory will begin to manifest. It was centuries after Isaac was born before Jesus was born. When you obey God and you do His will in your church, you will give birth to an Isaac. And it may be years before you realize the full manifestation of God's promises and glory as a result of your obedience. But one thing is for sure, when you give birth to an Isaac, by the will of Almighty God, His blessings are coming. Amen. His glory is going to manifest. His presence will be strong. And this is why it's so important to receive from God what He wants you to do and not what you think you should do. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16.
Matendo ya Mitume 16.
And we're going to begin reading in verse 6.
Mstari wake sita.
The Apostle Paul,
Mitume Paulo,
and many of his friends
na marafiki wange weke wengi
were traveling with him in ministry.
Walikuwa wanatembea naye katika huduma.
And beginning in verse 6,
na tukianzia mstari wa sita,
now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and in a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
Wakapita katika nchi ya Phrygia na Galatia, wakikaribia na wakikatazwa na roho, walisihubiri lile neno katika Asia. Walipofika kukabili Misia, wakajaribu kwenda Bithynia, lakini roho wa Yesu akawapa ruhusa. Wakapita Misia, wakakerebea Troas. Paulo akatokewa na maono usiku. Alimuona mtu wa Makedonia. Akamsimamia, akamwambia na kumwambia, vuka uje Makedonia na utusaidia. Basi walipokwisha kuyaona yale maono, mara wakatia kutoka kuenda Makedonia, kwa kuwa waliona kwamba Mungu alikuwa anataka wakaupende habari njema katika nchi hiyo.
The Apostle Paul could have gone into Asia and preached. He could have gone into Bithynia and preached. There were many people in those areas who needed to hear the gospel. And all of those people in those areas, God wanted them saved. But in spite of the fact there was a need, in Asia and Bithynia, the Holy Spirit said, do not go preach in those regions. As pastors, we sometimes think that wherever there are lost people, that's where we are supposed to go preach. If Paul had gone to Asia, he would have given birth to an Ishmael. Yes, people would have gotten saved because God will honor his word. But it was not God's will for Paul to go into Asia. The same thing was true about Bithynia. Paul could have gone to Bithynia. People would have gotten saved. Many people maybe would have been healed. But that was not God's will for Paul to go to Bithynia. God wanted Paul to go to Macedonia. That was the will of God. And so Paul went to Macedonia. God wants everybody to be saved. But as a pastor, it is not our responsibility to go and preach the gospel everywhere people are lost. Our responsibility is to be like the Apostle Paul and minister where God wants us to minister. God wanted me to come to Migori, but he's not going to send every pastor to Migori. God has never sent me to Pakistan, but he does send other pastors to Pakistan. If I go where God doesn't send me, then ultimately I give birth to an Ishmael. Our goal as pastors is to give birth to Isaacs, because that is the will of God. When Paul went into Macedonia and preached, many people got saved. But what he did not know was that years later, the church in Macedonia, which was the Philippian church, was going to be the only church that financially supported his ministry. Other churches had stopped giving. But when you read the book of Philippians, Paul even says that time and again, they were the only ones who sent him financial support. God knew that was going to happen. But Paul didn't know it when he first went to Macedonia. But his obedience gave birth to an Isaac. And years later, the blessings of Isaac came into Paul's ministry. This is why it is so important for us as pastors to only do what God says. Look in Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And in Proverbs chapter 14, we're going to read verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Ya, Biblia inasema iko njia ionekanayo kuwa sawa machoni pa mtu, lakini mwisho wake ni njia ya mauti.
To the Apostle Paul,
kwa mtume Paulo,
it seemed right to go preach into Asia.
Ilikuwa njema kwake kwenda kuhubiri kule Asia.
It seemed right to go and preach in Bithynia.
Alikuwa ana ni sawa kwenda kuhubiri pale Bithynia.
And those regions did need the gospel.
Na kweli sehemu hizo zilikuwa zinahitaji injili.
But God wanted Paul to go to Macedonia.
Lakini Mungu alitaji Paulo aende Macedonia.
As pastors, when we see a need, that does not mean we are called to fulfill that need. We can pray about that need and pray for it to be met. But if God does not give us that instruction, then we do not step out and do what God has not told us to do. This contradicts what many people preach. Over the years of my life as a Christian, I have heard people teach, if you see a need, you meet it. But that is not the Word of God. The Word of God says we're supposed to do His will and be obedient to His Word. Many people in your churches will come and tell you as a pastor, there are many things that we need to do as a church. And they may have very good ideas. And maybe someday in the future, God may say to do those things. But you must stay in the will of God. You cannot afford to get ahead of Him. You cannot afford to do what He doesn't say to do. You must go before God and ask Him to give you His will for your church,
mapenzi yake kuhusu kanisa lako,
His will for you as a pastor,
mapenzi yake kuhusu wewe kama mchungaji,
and then you obey what He tells you to do.
Alafu utii kile ambaye atakwambia utende.
Praise God.
Bwana asifiwe.
You don't want to give birth to an Ishmael.
Hautaki uzae Ishmaeli.
I have counseled other pastors.
Nimekuta wachungaji wengi.
I've helped other pastors start churches.
Nimesaidia wachungaji wengine kuanza makanisa.
And I've shared with them things that they need to do. I've encouraged them to seek God and not just start different ministries. But because of what they've seen happen in other churches, they think that's what they're supposed to do. And I've seen churches close because of this. I've seen churches fall apart. If you follow God and you do what God tells you, you will stand. Well, this leads into the concept of church growth. One of the goals many pastors have is to see their church grow. In the United States and many other nations, you can attend seminars that are called church growth seminars. And in these seminars, people will stand up and teach you what you can do to make your church grow. They will hand out curriculum for the pastors to follow and do those things which will cause their church to grow. But would you please turn to Psalm 127? Psalm 127. Verse 1.
Mstari wake wa kwanza.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain.
Bwana asipojenga nyumba, wajengao wafanya kazi bure. Bwana asipoulinda mji, yeye ulindaye akesha bure.
When you do what God wants you to do,
ukifanya mambo ambayo Mungu anataka ufanye,
your church will grow,
kanisa lako litakuwa,
out of the will of God.
Kutokea kwa mapenzi yake Mungu.
It can be very easy,
inaweza kuwa rahisi,
to build a church,
kujenga kanisa,
on the personality of the pastor.
Na ile tabia ya mchungaji.
When a church is built,
ikiwa kanisa linajengwa,
on the personality of the pastor,
na ile tabia ambayo tabia ya mchungaji,
it is no longer a church.
Sio kanisa tena.
It is a cult.
Iyo inaitwa.
Because the people are trained.
Kwa sababu watu.
The people are trained.
Kwa sababu watu wanafundishwa.
To look to the pastor.
Kuangalia mchungaji.
But the Lord must be the one to build the house.
Lakini ni Mungu ndiye anafaa ajenge nyumba.
Many years ago.
Miaka mingi iliyopita.
I was praying to the Lord, and I said, I want my church to grow. And he answered in a way I did not expect. I said, God, I want my church to grow. And he said, why? And immediately I stopped my praying and began to think. Why do I want my church to grow? What am I after with church growth? And after a few minutes, he began to speak. He said this. I didn't call you to build a church. I called you to build people. Build my kingdom. And to teach people who will receive it. That lifted a burden off me. Because when you get around so many pastors, all they want to talk about is church growth. It's not about church growth. It's about obedience unto God and letting Him build the house. That means if your church becomes huge, it becomes huge. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. Because when you are doing the will of God, you're going to have the peace of God inside. And you're not going to worry about how many people are in the seat. But when you start following the path of man and the traditional idea that every pastor is supposed to build his church, if the church is not growing, you're going to feel the pressure of not seeing it grow. But it doesn't matter how many people are in the church. What matters is your obedience to God. You do your part and let God do the rest. I want you to think about something. We look at pastors who have big churches. A church with 10, 20, 25,000 people. And we have a tendency to think that pastor must be in God's will. Otherwise, his church wouldn't be so big. But it is extremely possible for a pastor to have a church of thousands and be completely out of God's will. I want you to think about this example. A pastor pastoring a church of 20,000 could be completely out of God's will. But a pastor pastoring a church of 20 people could be totally in God's will. Before I came here, I looked at some statistics. These numbers may not be exact, but they're very close. The population of Nairobi is around 4 million people. A church running 10% of that population would have 400,000 people. That's a lot of people. A church running 1% of that population would have 40,000 people. A pastor in a church of 1/10 of 1% would have 4,000 people. The population of Migori, according to what I read on the internet, is around 36,000. A pastor of a church running 10% of that population would have 3,600 people. A pastor of a church that is 1% of that population would have 360 people. A pastor of 1/10 of 1% of the population would have 36 people. A pastor in Nairobi with 1/10 of 1% of the population would be 4,000 people. A pastor of a church in Migori running 2/10 of 1% of the population would have 72 people. That means percentage-wise, the pastor of the church in Migori has more people than the pastor of the church in Nairobi. When you're if you're running a larger percentage of people, you are reaching more people in your community than the pastor in the church of or in the city of millions of people. The ways of man are this. How many do you have in your church? But it's not about numbers. It is about obedience unto God. If you're a pastor in Migori and you have 100 people, based on the population of this area, you have a big church. Don't look at the numbers. Look at your obedience unto God. Do what God has told you to do, and you'll be able to reach the people you can reach. This might be hard for some to believe, but there are some people that will not be a good fit for your church. You don't need them in your church. But they might be a good fit for the other church down the road. That's the church where they need to be. Instead of trying to reach everybody, do what God tells you to do, and you will reach everybody God wants you to reach. Praise the Lord. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. As a pastor, one of the things we hear is that we have a responsibility to bring all the people back into our church who leave our church. But I want you to know this. When people leave your church, it is not always wise or the will of God for you to chase after them. If you begin chasing after everybody who leaves your church, Satan is going to work very hard to get people to leave your church. Because if he does that, then he can tie up all of your time and pull you away from your prayer time. And you'll be more worried about the people who left than the people who have stayed. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells a story beginning in verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living.
Akasema mtu mmoja akuwa na wana wawili. Yule mdogo akamwambia babaye, "Baba, nipe sehemu ya mali inayoniangukia." Akawagawia vitu vyake.
And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living.
Hata baada ya siku si nyingi, yule mdogo akakusanyika vyote, akasafiri kwenda nchi mbali. And when akatakanya mali zake huko kwa maisha ya uasherati.
And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine.
Alipokuwa amekwisha kutumia vyote, njaa kuu iliingia nchi ile. Yeye naye akaanza kuhitaji. Akaenda akashirikiana maana na mwenyeji mmoja wa nchi ile. Naye alimpeleka shambani kwake kulisha nguruwe.
And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee."
Akawa akatamani. Akawa
15,
huh? Verse, akaenda akashikama
16. 17.
Akawa
verse 17 and 18.
Alipozingatia moyoni mwake, alisema, "Ni watumishi wangapi wa baba yangu wanaokula chakula na sasa na mimi hapa nimekufa kwa njaa. Nitaondoka nikakwende kwa baba yangu na kumwambia, Baba, nimekosa juu ya mbingu na mbele yako."
And in verse 19 the son continues.
Na kumstari wa 16 huyo kijana aendelea.
"And am no more worthy to be called thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants."
Sistahili kuitwa mwana wako, nifanye kama mmoja watumishi wako.
And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Akaondoka akaenda kwa babae, alipokuwa angali mbali. Baba yake alimuona, akamuonea huruma, akaenda mbio, akamwangukia shingoni, akambusu sana.
And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to make merry.
Na yule mwana akamwambia baba, nimekosa juu ya mbingu na mbele yako. Sistahili kuitwa mwana wako tena. Lakini baba alimwambia watumwa wake, leteni upesi viazi vazi lililo bora. Mkavike, mtieni na pete mikononi kidoloni na viatu miguuni. Mleteni ndama yule aliyenona. Mkamchinje na tule tukifurahia. Kwa kuwa huyu mwanangu alikuwa amekufa na amefufuka. Alikuwa amepotea naye ameonekana. Wakaanza kushangilia.
The father was very concerned for his son.
Baba alikuwa anashughulikia sana mwanae.
We know this because he rejoiced when his son came home.
Tunajua hii kwa sababu alifurahia wakati mwanawe aliporudi nyumbani.
But notice what the son did.
Lakini tazama kile ambacho mwanae alifanya.
He received the blessings of his father.
Alikuwa amepokea baraka ya baba yake.
He knew that he was a son of his father.
Alikuwa amejua kwamba alikuwa mwana wa baba yake.
But he rebelled against his father.
Lakini aliasi kutoka kwa baba yake.
He left home to live his own way.
Aliacha nyumbani apate kuishi maisha yake mwenyewe.
The father's heart was broken.
Roho ya baba yake ilikuwa imevunjika.
He wanted his son to come back.
Alikuwa anataka mwanawe apate kurudi.
But the father never went after his son.
Lakini baba yake hakumfuata kijana.
This is very important for us to remember.
Hii ni muhimu kabisa sisi tupate kuwaza.
Notice verse 17.
Atazama kile mstari ya 17.
What it says about the son.
Ili inachongea nini juu ya mwana.
And when he came to himself.
Alipozingatia mwononi mwake.
The father could have gone after the son.
Kweli baba yake angeweza kumfuata.
He could have dragged him back home.
Angemfuta arudi pale nyumbani.
But the son's heart was not in the house.
Lakini moyo wa mwanawe hakuwa ndani ya nyumba.
The son's heart was out in the world.
Ile moyo wa mwanawe ilikuwa pale nje.
And the father knew.
Na baba yake alikuwa amejua.
I can go after him.
Na inaweza aenda nikamfuate.
I can drag him back home.
Naweza kumfuta arudi nyumbani.
But he hasn't changed his attitude.
Lakini ilifaa abadilishe nia yake.
It was not until the son came to himself that he realized he needed to be in his father's house. That's the way it is in many churches. You have Christians in these churches. Everything seems to be okay. But then one day they leave the church. Many pastors want to immediately chase after them. You've got to come back. You've got to come back. But if you bring someone back, and the attitude of their heart is still in the world, you're bringing the world back into your church. Until those people come to themselves and realize they need to be in the house of the Father, they're not coming back. And when you chase after people like that, you are wasting your time. Look over in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus had preached a message. There were some people who didn't understand this message. And in verse 60, here's what it says. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?"
Basi watu wengi miongoni mwao wa wanafunzi wake waliposikia walisema neno hili ni ngumu na nani awezaye kulisikia.
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him."
Na Yesu akafahamu nafsi mwake ya kuwa wanafunzi wake wananinunga onikia neno hilo. Akawaambia, "Je, neno hili linawezekana? Itakuwaje basi mojawapo mwana wa Adamu akipaa huku akikokuwako kwanza? Roho ndiye itiayo uzima mwili. Haufai kitu, maana hayo niliyowaambia ni roho na tena ni uzima."
And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Akasema, "Kwa sababu hiyo nimewaambia ya kwamba hakuna mtu awezaye kuja kwangu isipokuwa amejaliwa na Baba yangu."
There were many people that heard him preach.
Kuna watu wengi walipomsikia akihubiri.
They did not fully understand the sermon.
Hawakupata kuelewa zaidi.
They could have gone to him and asked.
Wangeweza kwenda kwake na waulize.
"What does this sermon mean? Please explain it to us."
Je, ujumbe hili ni nini? Pate kutueleza.
But they didn't do that.
Lakini hawakufanya hayo.
They just assumed he was preaching foolishness.
Walikuwa wanafikiria tu alikuwa anahubiri mambo ya upuuzi.
And so they turned and walked with him no more.
Na wakamwacha hawakutembea naye tena.
And scripture does not record that Jesus went after them because he knew they had set their heart against his message and they were not going to receive from him. As pastors, we need to learn this message. There are many people who will leave our church. Some of them have their hearts set against what God is doing. If we keep chasing after them, it is going to take us out of obedience unto God. This does not mean that we ignore everybody who is left. We can pray for everyone who leaves. But we must find out from God the ones we are to contact and the ones we are to leave alone. Because until they come to themselves, they will not realize they need to be in the Father's house. It is so important to pray and seek God when it comes to reaching out to people who have left our churches. If God says go after that one, then we go after that one. But if God says leave that one alone till they come to themselves, we need to leave them alone. Because you see, Though we leave them alone, God is not leaving them alone. They may be out there in the world, but God is ministering to their hearts. And He's doing everything He can to woo them back into fellowship. We need to leave it up to God and continue going forward to do His will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Please stand.